What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're listening to 100 Words or Less with Ray Harkins.
Happy end of spooky season, and let's just move right into the holiday season. I was actually at a local Target, and it was funny. This was obviously prior to Halloween, and they were already breaking that down and putting up their Christmas decorations and what have you. And I was like, wow, we really just move right through the holidays, don't we? That's kind of like what I'm doing with this podcast, because I am taking literally 1 week off because, you know, I just like having these discussions and I want to keep continuing to bring you the engagement of those discussions with people who are involved in independent music, whether it's documenting it, playing it, putting it out, whatever it is, as long as it has some energy, as long as it's in small, sweaty rooms, you know the drill. This week concludes the live series of podcasts that I was doing over in the United Kingdom that I recorded back in June of 2022 at Outbreak Fest, an amazing music festival that, keep your ears to the ground because they have their next year announcement that's coming out very, very soon, which I'm excited to see. Got a little sneak peek, and I'm not going to tell a soul. I told them that I'm not going to tell a soul, but they gave me a little like, it might be these bands. And I'm like, holy moly, it's going to be a banger, as the kids say. But this week, I have got Matt Kareckis from Citizen, and I have Issa from Slow Crush, both who obviously played the festival. I sat down in front of a live studio audience and had a compelling discussion with both of them. They were fun. I've had Matt on before. Issa, I actually never had on before. I tried to meet up with them when they were in Southern California, but schedules did not align. So I was able to get to know her in front of, you know, people, which was fun. And always, I get a little bit nervous when that happens, where I'm like, you're nice. I don't really know you. Do I do like a quote unquote normal episode of the podcast? All that stuff. But we were able to make it happen. And both of these were really fun, like I said. So first and foremost, you can actually listen to these podcasts on YouTube. So click on the link in the show description. You will be able to subscribe if you want to consume podcasts that way. You can also email the show, 100wordspodcast@gmail.com. I will always respond to those emails. I get guest pitches and other ideas that come in from people where I'm like, huh, that's interesting. I never thought about that. And if you would be so kind as to leave a rating and or review on Apple Podcasts, you can do the same on Spotify, just a rating. Keep in mind, I'm sure they're going to add comments at some point. Maybe that's like part of their tech roadmap, so to speak. You know, there's some industry nerd talk right there. But anyways, that's what you can do for the show, or you can just share it with your friends because that's the best way that this thing travels. So I'm going to talk to Matt, going to play that out. We'll have a little break, and then we will play the chat that I had with Issa from Slow Crush. Just love both the bands. citizen. Like, they are really, really interesting because they've been able to shift and mold and change themselves to pursue whatever musically they want to do. Because they used to, frankly, just be kind of like a, you know, sort of by the numbers, popish, punkish band. But I, you know, I'm maybe giving them short shrift to their earlier material because I personally always really liked it. But they've been able to ebb and flow into this really cool sort of indie rock band that they are now. And Slow Crush, they are just such a hardworking band, tour relentlessly, even though they're from Belgium. I had the opportunity to see them for the first time when they came over and played Southern California. Gosh, I don't know. It was many months back, but really, really good. So anyways, let's talk to both of them. Just wanted you to have a lay of the land. Here we go.
I really do feel like I'm hosting a late night show doing that. Like, welcome onto the couch, Matt.
Yeah.
But anyways, thank you very much for doing this because I know you didn't need to.
Yeah, yeah, no, of course, of course.
I was sharing this with you when we were just outside the tent. I was like, I've had Matt on the podcast before. And I was like, that's a couple years ago. 2017 was when we last spoke, which feels like 9 lifetimes. Like, Citizen was just, you know, kind of waking up being a band.
Right. Right, yeah.
The 2017, that was Youth, correct? Around that time?
2017 was As You Please, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
We released you some Youth in 2013, so.
That's how dumb I am. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, yeah, Youth, right? That was right in that time. But
time flies. So.
Time does fly. But I remember something that in our first discussion that really captured me was the fact, and I wasn't aware of it, you're a huge gamer. You love video games.
True.
And I presume, for one, you still love video games?
Yes, yes.
And so walk me through, like, when you first got into video games and what keeps you, I guess, engaged with that.
I mean, I used to like video games a lot when I was really young, you know, and then I got into high school and became a bit more social and stopped.
Sure.
And then we were recording As You Please. And I was a big Mortal Kombat fan when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And they had a Mortal Kombat X at the studio. So I started playing that a little bit. And it kind of reignited, you know. And I've been getting into game development and stuff. So
right.
I mess around with like 3D modeling and animation and stuff more so than video games at this point. But
right.
Yeah. But.
And that was something that really impressed me too because you put out an app game around, remind me which release you did that for?
It was As You Please and Life in Your Glass World. So
right. And that's weird. Most people don't put out games with their records.
Yeah. It was cool. It was a little novelty thing, and I don't really know how many people even played it, but it kind of sucked. It was, you know, it was kind of shitty, but I guess, you know, the idea of it was cool, so...
Right.
Yeah.
And because it was made by you, who obviously is in the band, to be able to, like, get
Yeah. It was harder to do the video game than it was to do anything else related to the band, and hopefully people appreciated it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, exactly. Obviously, one person did. Well, now everybody's going to pull out their phones, download it, and then start playing it and be like, man.
Yeah, hopefully. Go leave it a review.
Exactly.
You don't even have to play it. Just leave it a good review.
5 stars.
Yeah.
Because that will then propel Matt's video game development career.
True, and then I can quit Citizen, finally.
Right.
You know?
This all is a long con.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm playing in a band to work in video games.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
It's a weird
right.
way to go about
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
But it's cool. Something that's also been really, really cool for people like me and everybody out here to watch is how Citizen has progressed musically. And, I mean, people have literally been able to watch you guys grow up from being kind of, you know, a... whatever pop punk adjacent band to this really interesting hybrid of indie rock, hardcore, punk, whatever you want to call it. And you have been playing in front of different audiences, especially over the past three, you know, removing COVID, but the past 3 years or so, you've been playing to people that are not familiar with the scene, so to speak. So playing in these different venues and audiences, what have you kind of like learned about yourself, either as a performer or in the way that you are approaching these audiences who are like, oh, I don't know what straight edge is or minor threat or whatever. Like, how are you handling yourself with that?
I feel like I'm doing pretty okay. Sure. I just, a big lesson is to just kind of do whatever you're excited about. And in regards to the way Citizen sounds, it's like, I'm not listening to the same stuff I was in 2013, and while I still might appreciate that stuff, that's not the stuff I want to steal from anymore, you know? So, yeah, we just want to do things we're excited about, and whatever version of us you're hearing, you know, we're happy to play that, and I don't know if that answers your question, really, but yeah.
Well, it's hard because as each time you put out a new record, there's that fear that if you don't put out the thing that you previously did, people are going to be like, Citizen sucks. They don't sound like that anymore.
There's no fear. We put out a record called Everybody's Going to Heaven. Everybody hated it. And yeah. So any fear of negative reactions has, we've already experienced the worst of it. So right. We don't really care at this point.
You're like,
but back then it was life altering.
No, and honestly, that's what I was going to ask you, too, where there is, you know, you participate on social media very infrequently. You know, you have Twitter. Correct me if I'm wrong. You do not appear on Instagram. Am I correct or no?
I do.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a sellout. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But you definitely aren't the sort of person where it seems like that is not a very important part of your life. It's just something you do.
Yeah, at least my personal stuff is just kind of like, you know, personal.
Yeah.
I used to be like a loud guy on the internet, and when I was a bit younger and a bit crazier, and it's just kind of embarrassing, you know, at this point. So you just kind of mind your own business, and yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm sure some of that also came from the fact that you're talking about when people started to express their feelings on why they don't like Citizen anymore on the internet, there probably was some of that, oh, I just don't even need to pay attention to this.
I read everything still to this day. So maybe I don't respond to it, but I definitely have a list of bands I don't fuck with in my phone. So if I see somebody talking shit on the internet, the first thing I do is I go to their page and I see if they're in a band. And then I listen to it and make fun of it with other people. And then I write it down, write their band name in my notes app. So I have a list called Bands I Hate, and there's like 100 bands in there.
I love that idea because it could easily happen where it's like, you know, you get the submissions for your headlining tour and you're like, ooh.
That's the idea, yes.
Right.
Oh, this band was talking shit. They can't play with us, so.
And I like that you could probably reference, hey, so it's weird, back in 2017 in my notes.
Yeah, I have the dates, where they're from, and their band name. So there we go.
Oh my gosh. That would be spectacular. You live in Ohio still, correct?
I currently live in Virginia.
Oh, yeah. Virginia, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
What prompted that move?
So my wife is
congrats, congrats, by the way.
Thank you.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yep.
She is a nurse in the military. She's a lieutenant. So she's in Virginia for a couple of years. Then we're going back to Toledo. So,
okay, got it. Yeah.
Yeah, the motherland, you know.
Right. That's what I was going to say, because Ohio, obviously, you've toured across the world now, and you've experienced a lot of different cities. And you see, I mean, many of your peers and bandmates end up in L.A., New York, the cultural hubs, and you're like, Toledo's my spot.
Yeah, I love Toledo.
Yeah, why
is that? It's cheap.
Okay, cheap.
And my family's there.
Love it.
And those are the only two reasons. Right. So, none of my hobbies require. I don't like to hike. You know, I'm like, if I go camping, I'm in my van and I drive to an area. I get out, I look around, I get back in my van. You know what I'm saying? So, Toledo might not be the most scenic place, but I don't really care. I lift weights and sit on my computer. So
right.
As long as it's cheap to live there, I don't care.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, and it affords you the ability to do all of what you do artistically because you don't have a huge overhead or whatever.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Okay. The vibe of the band has also changed stylistically over time, where it's like, you know, each record that you put out is either a very, you know, high conceptual art where it's like, wow, like what, this is kind of psychedelic, or this is, it's very different each record. And I know that matches the music that you're doing. How important are the aesthetics that you guys choose to put forth with the art on each release?
So our guitarist, Nick does all that. Yep. He does all the covers and stuff. And I think he really.
Claps to Nick.
I think he does a great job, and I don't have any hand of that. And I mean, I don't look at the merch designs before we go on tour. It's just kind of like the first day, I'm like, oh, cool, those are our shirts. And but I think he does a great job. I mean, doubling back to Everybody's Going to Heaven, the vibe of the album was bigger than the album itself. Everybody was like, oh, this shit sucks, but that shirt is awesome, you know? So you had everybody wearing Everybody's Going to Heaven merch. Nobody listening to it, you know what I'm saying?
Right, they're like, I don't like the record, but love the band still, and yes, love the merch.
Exactly, yeah.
Which, I mean...
And that's all Nick, right?
Right, yeah.
All of his ideas, so, hell yeah.
Yeah, well, it's true. I mean, there are people that literally will buy a piece of merch and not ever have an idea of what the band sounds like.
Right, like, yeah, like my brother in high school. Right. Go to Hot Topic and be like, oh, that's cool. That's cool, you know.
What's that? What's that skull thing? Yeah, yeah, cool. Put it on me.
I like skulls. Yeah.
Have you heard of the Misfits? No. What is that?
Right. Exactly.
You've also been pursuing a, you know, I hate to use the word solo career because that sounds pretty pretentious. You've just been putting out your own music under your own name for many years now, and a lot of people would view that as like, oh, you can't be creative and citizen, so you gotta like do this whole other thing. And I know you've made that pretty clear that's not the case, but what keeps you inspired to keep doing your own stuff within the context of that project?
I think just mood in general. I think aside from citizen, the stuff I do for fun is a bit more lighthearted and just softer.
Yeah.
You know, and it would be weird if Citizen was doing stuff like that, or, you know, maybe, you know, they wouldn't like it. I don't know. So it's just an outlet to do softer stuff, I guess, really, you know.
Sure.
I listen to a lot of Third Eye Blind and stuff, and it'd be weird if Citizen started ripping off Third Eye Blind, you know. So that's why I just do it myself.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, I know this can't fit here, but this can fit here.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Right. And also with the fact that you probably can experiment with a lot of different instruments in your solo stuff than you can being like, hey, let's hire a symphony for Citizen. People will be like, what are you talking about, man?
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's cool. So, I don't know. Usually, if I sit down to write a solo song, you know, there's never any like bleed. It's always like, oh, I'm going to do a Citizen song, or I'm going to do a Souls song. And there's a clear difference. Very rarely has it ever been like, oh, I wrote the Citizen song, but it sounds like a solo song. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
There's like a clear goal and distinction, I feel like. So,
right.
Yeah.
So with touring, you've obviously played all across America. You've come to the UK. Have you actually played Outbreak before?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think in 2017, 2016, okay. I don't really know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
like, so, I looked at the audience. Does someone else know, maybe?
Does anybody know?
Yeah.
No.
There's undoubtedly tour hacks that you come up with to make yourself more comfortable. Whether it's, you know, I want to be the first to the tour van, or I got to be the first to, you know, catering or whatever. What sort of things do you do that make yourself, I guess, a little more comfortable as you're touring?
I try to be very self-sufficient, and I pack extremely light every single tour. I find that the less you have to worry about, the less stressed you are. You know, I don't want multiple bags. I fit everything I need in a backpack.
For like a month-long tour. Backpack.
Yes, I severely underpack for every tour. But it works out. I just smell bad all the time, and that's about it. But I'm less stressed, and I feel like touring is about being considerate. And I find that if I kind of keep to myself and kind of make it as if I'm not there, I'm considerate, and I'm also, it's just easy, you know? So that's my tour hack. I guess, you know, pack light and be considerate of others so you're not annoying.
So you got like 30 pairs of underwear, one pair of pants, one shirt.
I pack 7 pairs of underwear every tour.
Okay.
And I usually just go commando, and then I put the underwear on if I'm working out. So
I really appreciate that detail. Yeah. That's really good. No, so. I love it. In looking at when you first started to get into like punk and hardcore and the more independent minded stuff, usually people have a record label that they attach themselves to where it's like, oh my gosh, this is really incredible. Or a particular band that opened up their world. When I ask you that, like what things come to your mind as far as a record label and, or, you know, a couple of bands that were really foundational for you?
So I didn't really like grow up on punk and hardcore, honestly. I was like a nu metal guy, you know?
That's fine.
I liked Seven Dust and Mudvayne and all that stuff, and I kind of just fell into the hardcore scene. I think the first hardcore band I knew was Throwdown.
Oh, wow.
And that got to, you know, Hatebreed, and you know, so I always thought Bridge Nine was really cool when I was younger, but yeah, to be honest, I'm not like a punk hardcore guy at heart, and while that I do like a lot of that stuff, over time, it's definitely not what I grew up on. I thought Chains on Your Jeans was badass and JNCO Jeans, so
right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, for sure not. I was gonna say, how deep did your love go for nu metal? Are you talking about like you liked the, you know, God level A+ bands, or like did you go, you're like, listen, I love Cold and I love Edema, like
Edema, yeah. I was a huge Edema fan. I actually still listen to Edema, and I recognize that it's awful at this point in my life, but I still really like it.
It's fine.
You know, because I grew up listening to it. No, I don't know. I feel like Linkin Park was a huge band when I was a kid. I told this story earlier. It's kind of funny. I was part of the street team when they first released Hybrid Theory. And, you know, they would send you stuff. And I was just a kid, like, I don't know, 10 years old. I don't know, somewhere around there. And I got a letter from Chester, who knows if he actually wrote it, but it was handwritten, and I had it pinned to my wall, right? And when I was that young, I thought it was like, you either like rock music or rap music, you know what I'm saying? I was like, fuck rap, because I'm a rocker. And then Linkin Park did the Reanimation album with Jay-Z, and it infuriated me. And I started crying, and I ripped up Chester's note, threw it in the fucking trash.
Oh, no.
And then I hated Linkin Park for a while because they did, you know.
They betrayed you.
Because they betrayed rock music, yeah.
Right.
Even though they're rapping and stuff, and I was just stupid, you know. So
but
it's kind of a funny story.
I really appreciate you sharing that because that is, like, in my opinion, the perfect kid logic where it's like, you think, you're like, this has to be this way. And if it's not this way, this is literally offending my sensibilities.
Yes, yes. It deeply offended me. I felt betrayed.
Right. Like you wanted to write a letter to get another response.
Back to Chester, yeah.
Hey, Chester, I thought we were cool, bro. Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, yeah. Stupid, but it's kind of funny.
Well, so. I mean, fortunately, nu metal has obviously got a huge renaissance as of late, where people now retroactively look back. I mean, even Limp Bizkit touring with hardcore bands. Like, there's a world where Citizen could open for Limp Bizkit now these days.
Right. I don't think I'd want to do that, to be honest, but... I can appreciate those bands and the ridiculousness of it, you know. So
it's true. It's true. Well, yeah. Maybe you'll be able to play a festival, so you can.
Maybe, yeah. Festival is cool. You know, we did Riot Fest, and I saw Gwar. So you know, stuff like that is cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
With the kind of what you're talking about at the very beginning, with the you know, getting into video games, and then now how you're expressing yourself with like 3D animation and then like the pixel art you're doing and stuff like that. Is that just basically further entrenching you with the idea like, hey, I want to work with video games, it scratches an itch that you have creatively?
Yeah, I think so. I've always wanted to like write a story, and I used to want to be a filmmaker, you know what I'm saying? I would make a bunch of movies and stuff, and I don't know. I just, you ever watch a Pixar movie and you just, it
all
just like destroys you? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It would be cool. I really like bittersweet stuff and kind of like the topic of growing up and kind of losing your childhood innocence, and I've always wanted to write a story like that, and I've been working on animation and, you know, kind of just tinkering with the idea of making like a short animated film, you know, or something, but, you know, who knows if that'll happen. I tell myself every day that I should start writing something cool, and I sit there on my notepad and I feel stupid, and then I don't do it, and, you know, so.
Well, first of all, you shouldn't feel stupid. Not like you asked for my advice, but I'm giving it to you.
Thank you.
You should definitely, because I think it's, I mean, ultimately, when you're in a band, you are storytelling as well. You know, you're doing it in short snippets, and all you're doing is being able to maybe focus this on a story that you couldn't tell in your band, you know?
Right. I guess the main problem is dialogue when you're writing a story. It's like, you just feel so stupid, and when you're writing out like character dialogue, it's just really embarrassing for some reason. So maybe I just got to get over that, because I guess some people feel embarrassed with lyrics and stuff, and I've gotten over that, you know, so who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. Or getting on stage, like, you know, that's a very vulnerable act, getting out there singing into a microphone and people looking at you.
True. It's funny because I've just realized that, and there was a time where we'd go, you know, we'd be playing a show and I'd be taking a nap and I'd roll on stage on sweatpants and I wouldn't even think about it. You'd just go play and I wouldn't be nervous at all. But lately, I've just been super nervous before every set and I'm like, oh my God, what are we doing? This is crazy. You know, like I feel so weird right now. So I don't know. As I get older, the whole stage fright thing is getting a little worse, you know? So.
What do you do to try to combat that? Do you do any like pre-show rituals to calm yourself down, quote unquote?
No, I usually take a big pee, and
that's
then
very
you kind of just realize that, you know, you got other people up there with you. So, you know, if I need to be comforted, I'll just look at our guitarist Mason, and he's up there just losing his mind, and I'm like, this dude doesn't care about anything. I should be fine. So,
but then on your solo stuff, when you perform that, like it's just you.
I got people
that's
up there with me.
Yeah.
So it's fine. I got my brother up there, you know. So it's
you have backup.
We're good. Yeah, we're good. We're good. So,
and so when you talk filmmaking and inspiration and storytelling, who are some of the people or films that were really influential to you to kind of want to try to pursue that?
So I'm not like a big, I'm like mainstream film guy. I like The Iron Giant and Zoolander, you know? So
you could not.
I can't tell you about any like artsy stuff, but I think the movie Walk Hard is pretty funny. So yeah, I don't know. I like the movie Up.
Amazing.
You know? sad.
One of the most the opening five minutes.
It's terrible. I know. So
it's soul crushing.
Yeah.
But it's so beautiful at the same time. You're like, how they packed a person's life story into 5 minutes and you're crying by the end of it, and then you're like, I have another hour to go. What are we doing?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I like stuff like that. I don't really like dramas, and you know, I don't really want to like watch a 2-hour movie about people arguing with each other and stuff. I like kind of want it to be funny or scary. I like scary movies too.
Okay.
So, I don't know. But my wife Shay is like just always watching shit that I don't want to watch, and she. It's funny because I'll be on my computer, and our living room is like my computer and the TV is behind us, couch.
Yep.
And she'll be like, I'm going to watch this movie. And it's, you know, just a movie about
arguing for 2 hours.
People arguing with each other for 2 hours. I'm like, okay, cool. And every like 5 minutes, she'll be like, you see that? You see that? And I have to be like, oh, yeah, that's crazy. You know? And then about halfway through, she'll pause it. And this happens every time. She's like, well, are you going to watch this with me? And I'm like, I didn't ask you to turn it on, but yeah, I guess I will. So I always get caught into into watching these movies. And I've seen enough of them to realize that I don't like them. I want to watch Zoolander, you know?
Right.
It's funny.
Right, yeah, so, you're like, make me laugh at some point, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I appreciate the painting of the picture at home. Like, I think everybody that has had a relationship goes through that where it's like, oh, we're watching this tonight? Oh, okay, I guess we'll do this.
Yeah, and people in my band are seemingly like artsy-fartsy movie people, and they feed her ammunition. They'll be like, oh, you have to watch The Worst Person in the World or whatever movie it is, and then all of a sudden I'm stuck watching it and I'm like, jeez.
So they're getting back at you for like, oh dude, you spit on my guitar.
Yeah, maybe, who knows. Yeah. So who knows.
So an interesting thing that I think people like you have experienced, you know, touring the States and then touring internationally and touring, you know, the UK specifically, what would you say are the most drastic differences between the two?
The food, for sure. I mean, America is, I mean, it's not very good for you, but I'm just so used to the way everything tastes that when I come over here, I'm like, whoa, I don't know what to eat. You know, yesterday I ordered 8 grilled chicken wraps from McDonald's, and I ate
8?
Two of them every hour or two throughout the day yesterday. And I'm a pretty picky food guy. And, so I just kind of like to stick to what I know. So when I go overseas, wherever it is, it's kind of like, where's the McDonald's?
where's the American Embassy?
Yeah. I like Nando's too, right? That's the thing here. So
Nando's is good.
Yeah.
But you're like, get those curries away from me. Don't even try to give me a chicken.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like, you know, I'm very KFC.
Yeah.
I'm very basic. I'm a basic guy. So
no, you describe
when I'm home, I eat the same thing every single day. I eat chicken and noodles together.
Right.
And then I just put hot sauce in it, or Alfredo, or Shay introduced me to adobo. I think it's pretty good.
That's good.
So it's kind of like I eat the same thing every day, and if I want it to taste different, I just sauce it different, you know? So
it's the sauces are the rotation.
Yeah. Sauce or spice it, whatever. So
I love it.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to hit on, and probably the most important thing, is the fact that, like you mentioned earlier, you lift weights. You are a man that likes to put up some pounds, or kilograms, as you guys call them over here. Right? Isn't that right? Yeah. So how do you, first of all, how did you get into that? And second of all, how do you kind of maintain that when you tour? Because that's not easy. Are you hitting gyms when you're on tour?
I try to. In the U.S., I have these like adjustable dumbbells, so I bring those. But I was always really skinny growing up, like very small, and like my body type isn't meant to be big. I have to like kind of, you know, work to be moderately big or whatever I am. And a lot of my friends in high school were a lot bigger than me, and I just started lifting weights to kind of keep up with them, you know. And it's funny because now all those people are like skinny now because, you know, life takes over or whatever. You know, they don't care about lifting weights, or and I'm still on the grind. So I feel good about it, you know. And I started training Muay Thai a few years ago, so that has definitely made me a bit it's harder to keep any size on and with all the cardio. And but I feel pretty good. And I guess at this point, I just turned 28. It's kind of like I just want to feel good overall. I don't really care about trying to be as hench as possible anymore. I mean, there was a point when I thought I was pretty big, and I was like walking upstairs and getting out of breath, just walking up the stairs, or I'd bend over and tie my shoe and I'd be lightheaded, and I'm like, oh shit,
like, what am I doing?
I don't think I'm meant to carry all this weight, you know. So yeah. I just, at this point, I guess just overall health is what's important. So yeah. You know,
well, and you got to keep up that cardio for stage work, you know.
Yeah, because I just go nuts on stage, so.
Well, thank you, Matt, for joining me. Everybody give it up for Matt from Set Us.
Thank you.
New band alert for you to be aware of. I am extremely excited to say that Mutant League Records is sponsoring this particular episode of the show, and they have an incredible band. No hyperbole, just straight up awesomeness. Rest easy. They just released a new LP called Hope You're Okay. It is members of Shook Ones and Dagger Mouth. And if you like anything that is Lifetime or Lifetime adjacent, you will absolutely adore this LP. Like I said, it just came out. They have a ton of cool vinyl colors over at mutantleaguerecords.com. Shirts, tapes, whatever it is you want, they got it. But let's play a little bit of their single called Hey Maxine, give you a little taste of it, and then I'll tell you some other interesting tidbits about the band. So yeah, that is what Rest Easy has going on for themselves. And like I said, members of Dagger Mouth and Shook Ones, and there's probably 19 other bands located in there. But what's cool about them, they're lifers, they're adults playing this music. So they're not just your average, you know, whatever cheesy pop punk band that's starting up when you're 17 years old. No shots against bands that do that, because clearly we all start from somewhere. But they're adults playing this music and they know exactly what they're doing. And I love this full manifestation of all of their bands into this, you know, super group, even though that sounds pretty silly and not something that they would probably be comfortable with. But regardless, mutantleaguerecords.com is the place where you can buy all of your Rest Easy merch needs and just order the vinyl, because I know I did and I'm very excited to get it. So mutantleaguerecords.com, Rest Easy, Hope You're Not Okay is out now, streaming everywhere, or buy the LP on mutantleaguerecords.com. Thanks, Mutant League Records. Wait, you. Yeah, I'm pointing directly at you. Do you like band merchandise? Obviously you do. You're listening to this podcast. That is why you have to visit rockabilia.com and use the promo code 100 words or less that gets you 10% off your order. I don't care what type of music you're into, they have officially licensed merch from so many bands. Like, let me just list a few. We got the Beatles. I don't know, maybe you've heard of them. How about Black Sabbath? Check, no problem. Bring Me the Horizon. Yep, got that too. Grateful Dead, Eminem, Black Label Society. I could go on and on. How about Insane Clown Posse? How about that, right? But all joking aside, they have, and there's no jokes there, because Insane Clown Posse is a great band for those of you that are juggalos out there. Anyways, rockabilly.com, all officially licensed merch. You will be able to get 10% off your entire order by using that promo code, 100 words or less, and just have fun. You will be able to get anything you want for yourself and your parents, your siblings, I don't care, your grandma, your grandpa, you'll be able to have a lot of fun there. So rockabilia.com, 100 words or less for 10% off your order. And thank you for your continued support, Rockabilia. Okay, that was Matt, clearly. And now we've got Issa from Slow Crush, who, if you have not listened to, they are an incredible shoegaze, hardcore, whatever, amalgamation. Beautiful, soaring vocals. Like, I just really, really enjoy what they do. So do yourself a service and listen to the band, and then listen to this discussion with Issa in either order. I would prefer you to listen to the podcast right now, though. So here is a little ad, and then here is Issa. You know when you get into a band or a record label and you become obsessed with them, where you just like have to find out everything you possibly can about them? Well, recently I got obsessed with the band Brutus, who just released an amazing record called Unison Life on Sgt. House Records. And this isn't an ad for them. This is actually an ad for Evil Greed, who is an amazing web store solution provider for bands and also you as the consumer. What they do is they will sell you merch, music from bands that is filtered through a very curated list that they personally endorse and love and support wholeheartedly. They have labels like Close Casket Activities, Triple B, Flat Spot, Sgt. House, my friend Maggot Stomp, which I probably should have him on as a guest. But anyways, and they also have bands like Amon Ra, Full of Hell, Power Trip, Chelsea Wolf, Nails. You get it. But what I want to offer you is a discount. You can use the code 100words and it gets you 15% off of your entire order. I love Evil Greed. They have a very specific point of view. And if you are going to their website, you will undoubtedly find a ton of different items. And they're based in Berlin, Germany, but they ship worldwide, and it is very, very fast and efficient. I've ordered from them before, and I am very, very pleased about all they have done for me. I would say that even if they did not sponsor this podcast. So go to evilgreed.net and use the promo code 100words. That will let them know that you heard about this on this show. It works. It's a very virtuous cycle that happens when you use the promo code 100words. evilgreed.net. Order some merch.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. In my late teens, early 20s, I was burning the candle at both ends, like playing in a band, going to shows like almost every single night of the week. And I had friends and family being like, yo, you should chill out. Like, you know, you're just not only exhausted, but not giving the best version of yourself to me, to others, to people I was in relationships with. And I wish that someone would have been like, you know what? Hey, you should think about therapy, because I did that later on in life and it helped out tremendously. That is why I love working with BetterHelp. If you are thinking about giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is an amazing on-ramp for this. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And if you do not vibe with the therapist for whatever reason, you can switch it at no additional charge. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire and boom, you're off and running. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ray today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ray.
I feel very professional with these plants and couches and stuff.
It's great to have some green.
Well, it's funny, and I'm sure any of you that attended any of the chats yesterday, some people, they're sitting here, and then they start to play with the plant. It's just something to play with, so anyway, I'm not going to judge you.
No, but you're giving me ideas.
So. I know. Yeah, you're going to start, like, really yanking them out.
I'll just put them in my hair.
Exactly. Well, we have not had the privilege of having a podcast yet. Some of my previous guests I've had. But usually I don't ask these questions because I feel it kind of basic. But you've been on tour for what feels like 2 years. I mean, you did a full U.S. tour. You yep. did a full European tour before that, or parts of it.
Yep.
And how are you holding up? Are you very tired? How are you doing mentally?
I'm okay right now.
Okay.
It's been long and
right.
There have been very few hours of sleep, but yeah, it's all right. It's not too bad.
Okay.
There's enough Red Bull in the world to kind of keep us a little
the
bit.
The energy drinks
yeah.
are flowing.
That's
yeah.
right. And we found the best one in Germany. It was called Space Cat. I've only had it once, but I want it more.
So the drink is called Space Cat?
Yes.
That's
it's
funny.
The best thing ever.
Okay. It's because, yeah, the most people in America, the energy drink Red Bull is pretty terrible. Like, they say it tastes like urine, you know? but some people really like it. So.
Yeah.
But it's
It's just the caffeine content.
Exactly.
That's the most important thing.
Right, right. And so, because your U.S. tour that you guys just completed, that was like 6 weeks.
Seven, actually.
Seven.
Yeah, yeah. Almost two full months. And yeah, the U.S. is huge, so all of the driving was quite long. So that makes coming back to the U.K. a little bit easier, because you can usually find like a central place to sort of make your base camp and then travel around. So
right.
Yeah, we're happy to be back.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, because that's, I know your home is in Belgium. Is that where
right.
everybody lives currently?
Yeah, everyone lives in Belgium right now. And I actually grew up not too far from here. So we drove past my childhood home yesterday on the way up here, which was really nice.
So you waved as you drove by it?
I actually stood in front of the house and jumped. There is photographic evidence, so we might have to post that later.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was going to ask you that because I know that you studied here in England, but I didn't. Were you actually born and raised here?
I was born here, yeah, but I did most of my studying in Belgium. So I moved over to Belgium when I was 9.
Okay.
So it was a very long time ago that I saw that house.
Right.
So were
you actually in Manchester?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. And because it's not very common for us in America to move to different countries at 9 to start your studies, what prompted that? Why did you go over to, of all places, Belgium?
Yeah, my dad got a job over there, and so we moved with the whole family. It was only supposed to be a short stay of 3 years. So I did all of my schooling in the British national curriculum because we just stayed forever. Yeah, it was good. I think Belgium has given me a lot of opportunities that especially linguistically.
Right.
I'm now fluent in two languages, which I probably wouldn't have been if I'd stayed here. So yeah, there's a lot of differences in culture, perhaps.
Sure.
But it's always nice to come back to the UK. So.
Right. And that's the thing. When I met you previously, I knew you were from Belgium, but then you have a little bit of an English accent. I was like, wait, where are you from?
Yeah, I don't know where I'm from anymore. My accent changes depending on who I'm talking to as well. I think that's partially because people have... my family has made fun of me.
Yeah.
Because, I've got quite an international family as well. Got cousins living in the Netherlands. So I spent a lot of time with them learning Dutch as well, but they didn't like my accent and made fun of me. So now I just adapt depending on who I'm speaking to.
To whoever you talk to.
Yeah.
Do you have a dumb American accent? I know a lot of people that do the American accent impersonate Californians. We're like, what's up, dude?
No, it's not that bad.
That's good.
But yeah, I do, if I do speak to Americans, especially at work, then I do sometimes have to change my intonation a bit.
Sure.
Just because otherwise you don't understand me.
That's true. And we're really loud.
Yeah.
Generally speaking. I can say that as an American. I know that I've been accused of being very loud, so. Now that you have, I know you've toured the U.S. before because you guys did a 4 or 5 week tour a couple years ago, correct? Yeah.
Yeah, so we toured, I think 2019 on the West Coast.
Yep.
And then 2020, just before the pandemic, we toured the East Coast. And we got home about a week before everything shut down.
Wow.
So,
that was very lucky.
Yeah. We had to cancel three EU tours, three tours back to back. I think it was going to be EU and then US again and then EU. But obviously none of that happened.
Yeah.
But we were lucky that we were at home when the pandemic hit, that we weren't out on tour and couldn't make our way back. So, yeah.
Sure.
That was very fortunate.
Yeah, exactly. What did you feel like you guys learned about either yourselves or performing when you were going across the States? Because that is such a, you learn a lot about yourself no matter what sort of band you're in, even if you're from the States. So what do you feel like you took away from maybe the most recent experience that you're now we're better at driving or something simple, or it can be something like your performance.
I think, especially if you're out for so long, like just setting everything up, you find like the most efficient way to do everything, and everyone has their own sort of task. So yeah, that's something we kind of, we learn early on that it is best that you know what you're doing. That sounds really stupid, but yeah, if you know that, like, you know, Jerry's going to set up the lights, and then these guys are going to make sure that that all of the electricity is set up for the pedals and everything like that, then it makes everyone's lives easier.
Yeah.
So we just work as a huge team to set everything up as quickly as we can, so we can just get on with the sound check and everything. So.
Right, yeah. Because you guys have a lot of guitar pedals and equipment.
We do.
Yeah. You don't make it easy on yourself.
That's true. That's true. But we've got it down to like setting up as as fast as possible.
Yeah, for sure. When you were so you basically from age 9 on, you stayed in Belgium.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, and you obviously never came back to the UK besides playing shows.
Yeah, that's right. I do still have some family over here, so occasionally we come over and visit.
Okay.
But yeah, now it's mixed with touring, so I get to see my sister a lot more.
That's cool. That's
so
cool.
That's cool, yeah.
Do you, so when you started to get into music and maybe more independent-minded music, whether it's punk, hardcore, indie rock, how did that get exposed to you? Was that by friends or was that by television, radio? How did that get exposed to you?
It was mainly by friends, and in Belgium, in the town that I live or the city that I live, there was this alternative radio station, so okay. I just found that, like, randomly sort of zipping through the channels. So that was, I guess, my first sort of experience hearing, like, heavy music, some hardcore and punk.
They were playing, like, hardcore and punk on this radio station.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's called Radio Scorpio, and it's very sort of low-key only... accessible in Leuven.
Okay.
And maybe even up to Sterrebeek or Mosel. I don't know if you guys got it, but it was cool to be able to hear that just on an old school radio and dial into it, because back then it was all just sort of FM.
Yeah.
And then there are a lot of really cool hardcore festivals in Belgium, so it was actually through a festival called Kruisrock that a friend of mine went to, and then she met some people there. They invited her to a show, and that's where I met the rest of the band, pretty much.
Right.
Going to the show.
The and isn't Yeeperfest?
Yeeper.
Yeah, there's my American pronunciation. Isn't Yeeperfest? Yeah, sorry. But yeah, so that's a very big festival over there too, right?
Yeah, that's a huge festival. It's always been vegan, so I think it's even got its 30th anniversary or something.
Yeah,
this
I think
year.
You're right.
So yeah, it's been vegan forever, and yeah, that was always a great one to go to, knowing that you're also always going to get decent food, and like all of the activism has always been present there. So yeah. Back in the day,
yeah.
Hardcore was all about like animal rights and everything, and that's also something that really that really attracted me to that hardcore punk community, and I think that's also something that sort of you can feel as well in slow crush music. Our music is sort of all about compassion and taking care of each other and stuff, so that's
right.
Lyrically present still.
Sure.
And as well as musically, like, I think that sort of the hardcore beat is still in there, and even some doomy stuff. So although it may at times seem very sort of floaty and light, there is that that heavier influence.
Yeah,
present.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's what, when people come from the punk and hardcore scene but then decide to express themselves differently musically, there's always going to be that foundation of just like, oh yeah, we're going to do this ourselves, we're going to sing about this stuff that is not typical to maybe what the other bands sound like. So I get where you're coming from. And I mean, Belgium has always had a really, really big hardcore scene. I know, even from my perspective in California, you know, that H8000 scene and like all like that traveled all the way over to America. So when you were experiencing all of that, what sort of bands captured your attention initially when you started to go to those festivals and started to get into those? It doesn't have to be locally, but just bands that you started to get exposed to.
Yeah, but if you're talking about 8,000,
yes.
8,000?
Yep.
Then, yeah, Liar was always a big one.
Yep.
And Kindred and yes. things like that. So, yeah, all of those bands that I think we've all been to those shows. Yeah.
When you started to go to shows and see bands play, did you immediately want to play in a band, or did you have to work your way up to that idea?
Well, when I met these guys, they were looking for a bass player, so I was in the band already.
Okay.
So I don't know, but I'm usually quite a shy person.
Sure.
So I never had ambitions to be sort of, right
on
up
stage,
front
yeah.
and stuff. And so for a very long time when I was playing in these hardcore bands, I was the little girl with the big bass hiding behind the bass cabinet.
Sure.
So sometimes I feel bad that I still can't do that.
Sure.
But it's something that you learn along the way, and you just sort of have to switch everything else off and just be in the moment with the music on stage, and that's what gets me through pretty much.
So Slow Crush was not your first band. You played in hardcore bands prior to that?
Yeah. So we've all been playing in bands either together or in different combinations for many years, which makes it great, like now with Slow Crush, because we've known each other for so long. So it's always easier to work with people that you know personally, as well as musically.
Yeah. And was it always the bass for you, or did you try any other instruments?
It was always bass, I think.
Okay.
I may have played guitar for a very short, short-lived band, one show band.
Okay.
But I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, then that doesn't count then. No. Yes, so it's always been bass.
Yeah, pretty much.
And did you, were you doing photography, or were you trying to kind of contribute to the scene elsewhere, or was it always just you wanted to play in a band?
When we've also sort of organized shows and stuff before, and festivals even, and I've been doing catering as well, just sort of hospitality and catering and stuff like that. So that's my contribution.
Yeah.
Vegan cooking. Photography, I'm not the best photographer.
Sure. But so you were putting on shows and you were doing vegan cooking for, your friends and bands that were on tour and stuff like that. When did you get introduced? So you mentioned that you got introduced to veganism and animal rights via, the music that many of us get introduced to. Was that as you started to get into stuff that your parents probably did not understand? How did they react to you getting into loud music, talking about veganism? Like, were they supportive, or did they kind of be like, oh, you're a weirdo?
They were supportive to a certain extent. I mean, they never said, oh no, you have to eat meat, or the only unsupportive thing that they might have said to me was like, why do you want to play bass? Because you can't sing while playing bass. You should play guitar. And so I've proven them wrong.
You can't sing while playing bass? That's what they said?
Yeah. But my mum and dad, they're both guitar players, so maybe they just wanted me to follow in their footsteps. My dad actually taught me how to play guitar from a very, very small age. I think before I could walk, I had my own little mini acoustic guitar. Maybe that had something to do with it. But anyway, I've proven them wrong. So
yeah. You're like, guys, I'm in the UK with my band. I've made it.
Yeah.
Going back to what you're talking about with the live show and how, I mean, when I saw you guys in Orange County, it was my first time seeing you guys, and you create an atmosphere not only with your music, but then you're trying to set the tone with the lights and everything you're doing. Has that always been the way you guys have tried to present yourself, or is that something that you've kind of like worked your way up towards?
It's always been something that we were aiming to do. But of course, like you don't start off with this whole production and everything. That's something that has definitely evolved. I think with every show that we play, with every tour that we do, we learn things from the other bands that we play with. So I think after every tour, we change our setup completely. We've tried not to this time. We did have to temporarily find a backup light system for the first set of shows because all of our lights got stuck in the US and didn't arrive home before we had to leave for the next tour. So we figured it out.
Okay. Are the lights still in the United States?
No, the lights are back from today.
Thank goodness. So,
yeah, but we've always tried to make it as interactive a show as possible or immersive as possible. And I think musically we've always heard from the crowds that they feel like they're completely drawn in, and I think just sort of evolving the lights and the smoke and everything like that is really making it a 3D experience as well as just an audio experience.
right, yeah. You're simply not just playing, you're trying to... I like the idea that you're trying to build something that the crowd can participate in without just standing there.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that. You're trying to really immerse them. And with the fact that, I mean, because you guys do so much touring and you work with record labels and there's a lot of business implications that start to happen, how do you guys interact? Are you very active with the business? Is it something that you're comfortable with, or it's just something that you know you need to do?
Well, I guess coming from sort of the DIY scene previously, we have been very active in the business side, just because we know what we need and what we want. But now we do have a team that is working closely with us. So we have management working with us and everything. So it just makes a little bit easier on ourselves because there's so much else going on that we don't have to think about the little things, but we're still involved in the decision making, so we're thankful for that as well.
Right, yeah, because I mean, I know at one point, especially in punk or hardcore, there was that idea that once you started to have a manager and once you started to do these things, it was like, oh, that's the man, we can't do that, we're losing control. And it's you don't lose control if you work with someone who you trust.
Yeah, that's it. And it's hard to find those people sometimes. So we're very happy to have found some very cool and friend. Yeah, they are our friends. All the people that we work with. So that makes it a lot easier as well to work with someone if you know that you can trust them, as you say.
Yeah.
So
and especially if they come from your scene as well, where it's they understand. It would be different if you were trying to explain, hey, we're playing in front of 50 people in this city because we're excited to do it. And they're like, you're not making $500. What do you do? It's like, no, this is just what we want to do.
Yeah.
And kind of on the idea of what you're talking about, where you self-admitted, you are shy. You're not maybe comfortable putting yourself out there, but you've been doing it for years now. And so, like you said, do you basically just focus on the music, and how do you interact? I guess that's one question, but then also, how do you interact with people who are obviously coming up after the show and being like, I want to talk to you for 20 minutes, which is fine, but there is that emotional investment that you have to be mindful of yourself. So how do you kind of balance those things?
I think stage Issa and offstage Issa are quite different, but once I get in that zone, then it's all right. And I say that I'm shy, but I talk a lot as well.
Sure.
So I like meeting people, new people, and it is great that people are very enthusiastic as well to come see us and talk to us after the show. So please don't be scared
of her. Right. Yeah. the reason I ask that is because I know that especially once bands start to receive some attention, there is that idea that they are so connected to what you're doing musically that they will, or lyrically, that they will want to talk to you for a long time. And as an introvert, you might be like, I've just played. I'm exhausted. I got to like recharge or what have you. So
I don't have
you don't have that. That's cool.
No, I don't have that opportunity because usually after the show, I'm right behind the merch anyway.
Right.
So, yeah.
So you go from the stage to the merch.
I do it to myself.
Yeah,
no,
you don't
no
have
rest
that.
For the wicked.
Right. Well, that's, and yeah. Maybe that's part of the reason why you putting yourself out there makes you more just comfortable doing it because you've done it for many
times.
And
of course, like, once you're on stage, you get that adrenaline pumping. So, yeah, makes it a lot easier.
Right. So, as you guys continue to, you know, tour, release music and everything, how do you, I presume you guys have jobs back home that you return to, or is what do you guys
or
do
continue
for...
doing on tour?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm on my laptop in the van during the day and then at night playing shows. But the others are right.
Okay. So you're constantly working.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Very occasionally I can take a day off if we're somewhere nice. So I had the opportunity in the US to not work. That was great. So I got to see some of the states while I was there.
Right. So you actually took the vacation.
Yeah, that's it.
To be able to play shows.
That's it.
How do people that are not familiar with this scene and then they know you as a person and then they find out you play in a band, you know, you have tattoos, like there's all these things that are like, oh my gosh, like what do you mean you play in a band? Do people react differently to you or how do they?
I don't think so. I think that, I mean, the people that I work with, they know that I play music and they're very supportive, so they're quite flexible in letting me do this, which is great. So they know how much it means to me and how important it is. So that's, I guess, the benefit for working for the company that I do, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. And the last thing I want to hit on was the, because there have been so many more females that have been not only participating in bands, but obviously going to shows. I know I have seen a drastic change over the past 10 to 15 years. And I'm sure you, was Belgium more, I guess, male focused as well as far as like the hardcore and punk scene, or was it a good mix, or did you notice?
I think it was a pretty good mix, especially in crowds. I know that there were a lot of girls going to the hardcore shows when I was there as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think the community was a lot more accepting, perhaps, than other places. So I'm very fortunate that I've never run into any of those kind of issues. So I think it just really depends on where you are and how you've been introduced to the scene. But I can, touch wood, safely say that that everyone has been very respectful to me throughout my musical career. So.
That's great to hear, because I definitely, I mean, in the States, like you said, in certain areas, it's definitely different, but I know that just in observing, especially seeing different people play music on stage and feeling represented, like that's changed so much where it
absolutely.
Just used to be a bunch of dudes that look like me on stage, and like, that's fine, but there needs to be more up there, and so it's cool that you never experienced the flip side of it, where people were just like, oh, wow, we only paying attention to this band because there's a girl in the band. It's like, that's sad.
I've only had it in the U.S. once.
Oh, yeah?
Where we were setting up, and then apparently somebody said to the band that we were touring with, oh, there's a chick singer, fuck this shit. And then he watched anyway. But, yeah, only in New Jersey.
Only in New Jersey. Got it. Well, the last thing I want to hit on was the... when you were getting into punk and hardcore and going to all those festivals and, like you said, you know, bands in that particular scene, were there any record labels that were big for you as you were growing up, specifically, or bands beyond, you know, what the ones that we just talked about?
Locally or just in general?
Just in general.
I mean, yeah. I don't know if I really sort of paid attention to record labels, but, like,
yeah,
I think just being in the hardcore scene back home, like there was a label, Fun Time, that's from Luerva.
Okay.
So we're always hanging around at their shows and stuff, and then there's Good Life and things like that that set up EPA.
Yep.
So yeah, those labels stuck in my memory, I suppose. But then, like, band-wise, I think, well, all of us listen to, like, a big variety of different styles and genres, and I guess growing up getting into music and starting to play bass, then, yeah... All the sub pop stuff was usually sort of inspiration back then. Smashing Pumpkins have also been a big inspiration. Just like all of that.
Yeah.
Good old 90s indie.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's great to see that influence come full circle, where it's like, I just love watching 16 or 17 year old kids rip off bands from the early 90s, and it's like, that's so cool that music obviously lives on, the legacy.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
We no longer need to feel old, or we do.
I know, you do. More. I'm old, so I can say that. Well, Issa, thank you very much, and everybody give it up to Issa.
Thank you so much.
There was that. What a fun chat. And upon reflection of this whole live series, I was really proud of the fact that people seemed to enjoy them. They weren't like, oh my gosh, because I wasn't there, it wasn't enjoyable. Because I know that I personally feel like that sometimes when podcasts that I listen to have a live component, I'm like, oh, I don't know, man, this won't be very good. But I was pretty proud of this. So I hope that you enjoyed the journey that we were on. Big, big shout out to the entire Outbreak Fest team for bringing me over and having me do that stage. I will be doing it again next year, and I'm looking very much forward to it. And then shout out to Simone, who recorded all these amazing conversations. He was such a good dude to work with and very easygoing, made it work seamlessly, and I loved him for that. Next week is a fun discussion that I have with a longtime friend of mine. Her name is Veek Martin. She is the owner and operator of Simba Records. She's put out a lot of cool bands, whether it's Texas Is the Reason stuff or some Refuse side projects, a lot of things going on. And then she also works at Pirates Press Records. And then she also worked at Revelation for many, many moons, is a person that has been deeply involved in the behind-the-scenes nature of bands and labels and getting stuff out to you. And I wanted to have her on, so we accomplished that. That is what's happening next week. And until then, please be safe, everybody.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Trust me in saying that no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all of the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.